This was not planned. I had a very unusual week this past week. I do children's church, and I've been in children's church, writing children's church curriculum, doing crafts, doing games for 25 years now. I love it. It excites me. I bubble up when I see a new craft. It's so funny. And I'm married to a saint. Now, I know we're all saints if we're in Jesus, but he's a saint of a man, too. He goes shopping with me, and it's really an experience to go shopping with somebody like me. I don't know what it is I want, but it has to be cheap, and I need 30 of them. That's life with me and Children's Church. I love it. I keep my phone on the side of my bed because I get ideas in the middle of the night. And I'll sit up in bed and I get all excited. I go, that'll be a great game. So that's what Children's Church does for me. I love it. And so during the week, I just couldn't do the lesson. I couldn't get into it. I didn't want anything to do with Children's Church. I didn't want to write the lesson. And I just kept writing notes for a sermon. And I didn't want to do anything else but that. And I told my husband, I said, what is going on? I just don't want to fool with Children's Church. And he said, well, go with it. And I'm so glad he did, because what I realized was last week was part one. And that God wants to set us free from the law system even more. So that's what we're going to do. Last week, we talked about how Satan's belief system got started. And it got started in heaven when Lucifer decided that he could be better than God in his own beauty and his own strength. Then we saw how Lucifer brought that belief system to the earth. He came into the garden where Adam and Eve were, and he got them to believe that they were not perfect, even though they were. He got them to believe that they weren't like God, even though they were. And because they were tricked, that came into all mankind and throughout the earth. Satan's belief system was released. Then we saw how Satan will use anything to get that belief system going in our lives, even something as simple as New Year's resolutions. You know, the devil never comes to anybody and says, I am the devil. I want to kill you. So here, try this. He's subtle, he's sly, and he's smart. And so he tries to use things that are good to get us tricked to join into his belief system. So today we're going to talk about another area that he did that. Satan's belief system is always trying to get us to focus on ourselves. That's what Lucifer did. Instead of focusing on the goodness of God and what God had done for him, all he thought about was himself and what he wanted. So his belief system is going to try to get us to do the same things. Now, during the week I was asking God, why does it seem that we can so easily be tricked by this belief system? I mean, just think about it. Adam and Eve lived in a perfect world. They were perfect. They had no problems. All of their needs were met. And they got tricked into thinking that they were lacking something when they didn't lack anything at all. The church has the revelation of Jesus and that he's the Son of God. And his spirit lives within us. How can we possibly get tricked into falling for Satan's belief system? And then Satan uses the church and the Bible to trick us. How absurd. The very things that Jesus came here on this earth and laid down as a foundation for us are the very things that the devil tries to use to tear down our lives. So as I was asking God about that, I said, how is it that we get tricked so easily? He said, I want you to think about a red, juicy apple. Picture it in your mind. Now, I know you all have a picture up there, but close your eyes for a second. Picture it in your mind. It's crisp and it's cold. You can just hear it crunching when you bite into it, and it's ready to be eaten. Then God said, stop thinking about the apple. Don't think about the apple anymore. Don't think about how good it tastes. Don't think about its color. Are you still thinking about the apple? Yeah. That's what happened to me. And the more I tried to stop thinking about the apple, it got bigger, and it got sweeter, and it got redder, and I wanted it more and more and more. Then God said, I want you to think about a ripe red watermelon that's just been cut open. When you walk into the room, it's sitting on the table, and you can smell its fragrance, and you just want to go over there and get it. Are you thinking about the red apple now? No. Isn't that amazing? How simple, 1 minute, what was so difficult to figure out about, now you can do it. Well, God said that is the key to getting out of Satan's belief system when he's tricked us into getting there. Don't try to dwell on yourself. Don't try to say, what can I do better? Forget about yourself, just like you forgot about the apple, by thinking about God. Move your focus off of yourself and onto Jesus. And then it just happens effortlessly, just like it did for all of you. We cannot fight Satan's belief system through our willpower by saying, I won't do that anymore. I won't do that anymore. I won't think about myself anymore. We need to forget about ourselves. We need to just let that go. And we need to let Jesus come and fill our minds. That is what mind renewal is. We've been taught something else by a well-meaning church. You know, the church loves Jesus Christ. Jesus has laid down his life for the church. But the church lays down her life for Jesus too, in many ways. It's just that they've been tricked. And they've been tricked because they thought Satan's belief system could make the people better. But it won't work if you keep thinking about yourself. We need to take our minds off of ourselves and onto Jesus. God showed me scriptures this week while I couldn't work on children's church. And I was so amazed about what these scriptures said. I've read them hundreds of thousands of times. And they always meant this to me. And I read them, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, it didn't mean that at all. And so I want to share those scriptures with you all. But before we do, I want to lay down a foundation first with the Word of God. You know, Greg has taught us all that you need to interpret Scripture from other scriptures. And that's what's gotten the church into a lot of trouble. We've pulled one scripture out of here and one scripture out of there. And we don't even notice that they contradict each other. And that if this scripture is true, this scripture can't be. So this is the foundation we're going to lay down, that we are the righteousness of God. If we don't read the Bible out of that truth, it's going to get us into a lot of trouble. So the first scripture is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. How are we holy and without blame, according to this scripture? Because we are in him. That's how we're holy and without blame. It's not because of our actions. It's not because of what we're doing, and it's not because of what we're not doing. It's only because that we're in Jesus. And what does it mean when we're in Jesus? You know, this is another one of those scriptures, too. I used to just gloss it over. If we're in Jesus, we're in the Trinity. Remember last week I talked about laminin and how when God made us, he just interwove himself in us with a protein that's in the shape of a cross that holds us together. This is the same thing. God wants to be in such a close union with us that we are in Jesus, and that puts us in the Trinity. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Did we make ourselves accepted? No. We didn't have anything to do with it. It's his grace, and he made us accepted in the beloved. 1 John 4:17, because as he is, so are we in this world. Who is he there? It's Jesus. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. Are y'all starting to get the idea? We're just like Jesus. We're one with him. We're accepted, not because of anything we've done, but because what God has done for us. Isaiah 54:17. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Our righteousness comes from God. It's a free gift. We've already got it. You know, Satan came to Adam and Eve and said, you don't have it. You're not like God. And because they believed that lie, it plunged them into trying to be good enough by their own actions to become like God. It is the exact same lie. He hasn't come up with anything new. He will lie to you. He will tell you you are not the righteousness of God. You have got to become by what you do. And the Bible tells us that that's a lie. Here's another one. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Here again, the assurance that we are already the righteousness of God. It's already ours. We didn't do anything to get it. We weren't good enough to get it. It's a free gift given to us by God. Did Jesus have to commit any sin to become sin for us? No. Then we don't have to be righteous to be made righteous. God gave it to us as a gift. One more. Romans 6:5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, Jesus' death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Jesus became sin on the cross, but when he was he resurrected with sin? No. He was resurrected in perfect righteousness, the righteousness of God. So we are in the same position in the righteousness of God. God's word is truth. God gives us his word so we will know what the truth is. These scriptures that I've just read, they've established that our righteousness is not based on our own actions. It's a gift from God. If we think that our righteousness is based on what we do and what we won't do, then that means that we're in Satan's belief system. And we may not even realize it. You can be thinking you are really living for God and doing everything he wants, and you're right in the middle of Satan's belief system because you're trying to be pleasing to God by what you do and don't do. Now, I'm hoping that everybody is in a place right now where you can believe that you are the righteousness of God. I'm not asking you to think about what you did yesterday or what you should have done yesterday and didn't do. Just because God made you that way. Okay, I think that's one of the problems. We get mixed up. We think that our righteousness comes from what we do. Man, we're going to be in a world of hurt all the time if that's what we think. The righteousness that God gave us came from him. It doesn't have anything to do with what we do or don't do. Okay, so here we go. Here are the scriptures that God showed me. Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As I said, I've read these scriptures thousands of times. Every time I read it, until this week, I looked at that scripture and I said, it's my reasonable service to present my body to God holy and acceptable. And then I looked at myself and I went, wow, I got a lot of work to do. Because I am not holy and acceptable to God. Look at what I did yesterday. Look at what I did the day before. And this is reasonable service. So I thought that not only could I do it, but I should do it. When God had me read these scriptures this week, I guess he just removed the law from my eyes and my mind. So I read it in a whole new way. I want to show you what the Bible does when the law is removed. That is what we're supposed to experience when we read the Bible. And I'm telling you, that was not what I had been experiencing. I had been experiencing pressure, guilt, disappointment in myself, feeling that God must be disappointed in me. But when the law was removed and God took that law off of those scriptures for me, that is what I experienced. The very scriptures that for years have made me feel pressured and that I wasn't good enough for God made me just feel God's warm embrace and just how pleased he was with me. So we're going to go back and we're going to look at that scripture and we're going to break it down, because I know I'm not the only one that read that scripture like that and has been tormented for years by it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The first word we're going to look at is beseech. It means to call near. Now, if somebody's getting ready to tell you that you have really made mistakes and you're doing things wrong and you really need to work harder to be acceptable and pleasing to God, are you going to want to come near? I didn't. I mean, I wanted to, but I couldn't. I didn't have the freedom to. It means to invite by imploring, to call for, be of good comfort, desire. So Paul, in this scripture, is calling us to come near for the purpose of us being comforted by the mercies of God. What does the mercies of God mean? His compassion. He wants to comfort us. He's not there going, you know what? You could be holy and acceptable, except you just did that. That's how I always interpreted this scripture. But it's saying that God's wanting to comfort us with his compassion. That we present our bodies a living sacrifice. This word present is a Greek word. I'm going to try. All the others were really hard and long, so I wouldn't try. This is parastano, I think, for the people that really like to go back and look. It means to stand beside, to exhibit, to substantiate, to prove, to provide, yield, abide, appoint, continue, covenant, and establish. I was really amazed that one of the meanings of that word is covenant. What did God do for us in the covenant? He made a covenant with himself that said that we are holy in righteousness, not based on what we do and our actions, but based on what Jesus did. Why do you think God didn't make the covenant with us? Because he knew we couldn't uphold it in our own strength, and he didn't want us to have to. So when we present our bodies, we're giving them to God in the covenant that he established. And this is the one that really did me in. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, I don't know what y'all have been taught, but I had been taught that this word living sacrifice, that was because God hadn't totally killed us. We were on the altar. We were having to sacrifice and give up all these things that we didn't want. But we didn't like it, so we kept trying to creep down off the altar. That's what I'd been taught. And hey, that's how I felt. I wanted to do good, but I couldn't. And so instead of coming to God in confidence and having peace and comfort, when I would try to go to God, I would feel guilt and shame. Y'all want to know what that living sacrifice means? Yeah, I really did too. I was so excited when God showed me. This is the living sacrifice. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You have been crucified with Christ. That's what makes you a living sacrifice. We died to the law system when we were crucified with Christ. When we were raised up, we were raised up in Christ. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. We're not trying to squirm off some altar because we're afraid of what God's going to do or what he wants to take from us or that he wants to send us someplace we don't want to go. And then this was the last part that God showed me, that we are holy and acceptable to God. We don't have to try to be holy and acceptable to God to present ourselves in this way. We present ourselves this way to God because that's what we already are. Wow, did you all hear that? Yeah, we don't have to work to get to that point. We present ourselves to God this way because this is the way we already are. No self-effort. It's just a fact. It's just who you are. You don't have to use your willpower to try to overcome some weakness. You already are holy. You are already acceptable to God. And then it says, which is your reasonable service? God said, isn't it reasonable and rational that if you already are holy and acceptable, that that's how you would present yourself? Yeah, that makes perfect sense. All of a sudden, this scripture just got better and better and better for me. And the word service means worship. You know, of course, I took that word and I took it to mean working for God and sacrificing for God and giving up all these things I wanted for God. That's not what it was talking about at all. Not at all. Our service is just worshiping him. And God feels worshiped when we believe who we are. Because that's the only way that we can come into that close union with him that he desires to have. So it cannot come by us trying. You know, I'm always amazed, and I got to say it too, Gabe. Worship brings me to tears. It is just so amazing. It's obviously God telling you what songs to sing. What can wash away our sins? What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How have we been tricked by thinking that God wanted us to do things to wash away our sins or to make ourselves better? It's so absurd. He gave the only one thing that could do it. It's everlasting. It's forever. And we're still trying to work it up when we already have it. Sounds like the Garden of Eden all over to me. Romans 12:2, which was the other scripture that God showed me. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're seeing two belief systems in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The first one is God's belief system, where we're presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, already holy and acceptable, already righteous, not having to do anything to make ourselves pleasing to God, or Satan's belief system, which is the one that the world has adopted. Have you noticed what the world wants from you? It wants you better. It wants you better all the time. No matter what you do, it's never good enough. They always want a little bit more. That is Satan's belief system. And I want to say this so nobody misunderstands what I'm saying. This doesn't mean that we don't do awesome, wonderful things. But we do it in Christ's strength, not in our own self-effort. God's, the acceptable and perfect will of God. I always thought that that meant doing everything right. That was what God's perfect will for me was, that I do everything right. God's perfect will for you is that you let go of the law belief system and you enter into God's belief system so he can have that relationship with you, so that you are so intertwined with him that you and he are one in a perfect union. So our minds are going to dwell in one of two places. We're going to be in God's belief system. And this doesn't mean we don't do anything. Sorry, y'all. This doesn't mean we don't do anything. But it means that as you go about living your life, it's in rest and peace and joy. And your strength doesn't come from you. It comes from your Creator. That's what he wants. Y'all, we got a God that wants to do it for us. And not only does he want to do it for us, he's already done it for us. He just wants us to let go and let him be who he wants to be for us. Or we're going to dwell in Satan's belief system. Hey, that's not a fun belief system. There's constant pressure. I can remember waking up every morning. This was before the church started. Every morning. And listen, when I went to bed the night before, I had told God I was sorry for every sin I had committed that day, just in case maybe I had forgotten some or I didn't remember them. So I would say, God, you know, I'm so sorry for everything that I've done wrong today. I'm sorry for the things that I should have done and I didn't do. And then I would go to sleep. And when I would wake up in the morning, this cloud of guilt was on me. I couldn't have done anything wrong. I was asleep. But I woke up that morning, and there I am saying, God, I am so sorry. It's because I was in Satan's belief system. I didn't know it. But Satan doesn't let off because you're sleeping. He wants you to feel bad about yourself all the time. He wants you to be so aware of your faults and your weaknesses. He wants you to be so aware of yourself. Because just like you couldn't think about the apple and the watermelon at the same time, you can't think about your faults and God's goodness at the same time. They will not go together. God's belief system keeps us focused on God, his goodness. It produces love and joy and peace. Satan's belief system produces fear and anxiety. It should be a no-brainer which one we want to live in, right? Right. Here we see in God's belief system, we're focused on God. And those are the things that happen. And I'm going to just take the last one right now. Freedom from judging. Do you know how freeing that really is? That you are not judging yourself anymore. You're not watching your actions. You're not watching everything. What am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? And hey, that's good. But guess what? You don't have to judge everybody else either. It sets you free from that. And that's hard work too. There's only one of you, so you might think you can keep yourself straight, but that's not true. It's a joke. But you got lots of people around you, and you're trying to get them to act right too. So the point is you don't ever get to rest. You're in constant turmoil, constant fear, constant anxiety. When we look at Satan's belief system, we're focused on ourselves. There's fear and guilt, condemnation, worry, blaming others. It's a death system. And the most absurd thing is that the works of the flesh, the things that we're trying so hard not to do, that's what it's going to produce. It's going to produce those actions that we don't like in ourselves. Isn't that amazing? That the very thing that we try to use to make us better is the very thing that causes us to be worse. It's a subtle, subtle lie from the enemy. Okay, Romans 12, verse 2 again. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word transformed means to be changed, an adjustment. Renewing means renovation, repetition, that's really important, intensity, and reversal. So how is our mind renewed? It's renewed by hearing who you are in Christ over and over and over again. As it grows in your heart, the intensity of it will grow. You will begin to believe it more and more. You will find that the day comes when you'll do something that used to just make you condemn yourself so much, and you'll go, oh, God's already taken care of that. And it'll just slip away. It becomes effortless, is what happens. It becomes effortless. What belief system is your ear stuck to? What are you hearing most of the time? Are you hearing that God is in love with you? Are you hearing that you're God's heaven? Are you hearing that his passion is for you? That he is thrilled with you every minute of every day, regardless of whether you did things right or not? What an amazing, amazing God we have, that that's the life that he has prepared for us. Our world is filled with law. And as we listen to the lies and the accuser, he's going to tell us the same things over and over again. That we're not good enough. We have to become better. We have to try harder for it to happen. Focus on yourself. Focus on yourself. That is the law. It's Satan's belief system, and it's going to produce the works of the flesh. That's all it's going to produce. What are you listening to? You know, our ears are a whole lot more important than we think. A whole lot more important. Faith comes by hearing. So which system are we going to have faith for? God's system that says we're perfect and righteous, or Satan's system that says we got to try harder because we're not good enough? God isn't pleased with us. In Satan's system, it says God is disappointed in you. Just that right there, y'all. Even if you don't have the fear and you don't have the guilt, just living the thinking that God is disappointed in you, that's a very heavy burden to carry. And the more you love God, the heavier it is, because you want to please him. Well, he's saying you're already pleasing to him because he made you that way. When you're in God's belief system, you're free to be yourself. You can be yourself. You can relax. You can know God loves you. And as you know that, you let God love you. And as God loves you, you get filled up with who he is. And guess what? God-like living just comes out automatically. The devil likes to twist God's word and use it against us when it's really supposed to bring us freedom. Last week I talked about the dangers of New Year's resolutions, because it's something we determine that we're going to do in our own strength. Well, God showed me the danger of reading the Bible, what God has given to us under the law system, and what it does for us. So I'm going to give you an example of one and see what it does to you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Ooh, you just feel heaviness. What about if you didn't have faith for this or that or that? What about that? You think you're not pleasing God if you're reading the Bible under the law system. So God gave me a scripture to set us free from that. Take your eyes off of yourself and on your faith and what you can produce. And go to Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Ah, starting to feel good again, okay? Happy. Author means to be first. You didn't come up with your faith yourself. Your faith isn't your faith, really. It's God's faith that he gave you. The beginner to reign over. And finisher means a completer. So he doesn't just say, I gave it to you, now you better do the right thing with it. No, he's gonna complete it in you. The consummator, accomplish, made perfect. When I got saved, it was 1977. I hated God. I hated him for 25 years. I had been brought up as a child in a very unusual circumstances, and I was taught to hate God. I was told that God hurt people, and he wanted people to hurt. And so I hated him. And I got in a pretty bad way, and on January 1st, I had a nervous breakdown. And I was pretty much helpless a good part of the time. Sometimes I knew my name, sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I knew I was married, sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I knew I had children, sometimes I didn't. And God, even though I hated him, saw me perfect and righteous because he knew what he had done for me through Jesus on the cross. And I went and saw a pastor who shared Jesus with me. Now, keep in mind, I had 25 years of hating God. And I was involved in satanic rituals as a child. And that's why I hated God so much. Because the things that I saw done to me and other people, they told me God wanted it done. And I believed him. I was a little kid. So my hatred for God was very intense. It wasn't a light thing. This pastor shares the gospel of peace with me. And in 30 seconds, I get saved. Faith came. It wasn't my faith. I didn't have any faith in God. I didn't want anything to do with him. God supplied the faith. He did it. When you all got saved, it was God's faith. It was given to you as a gift. He didn't give it to you and then now wants you to operate in your own. Does that even make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. It's God's faith. I didn't have to muster up my own faith that day, and you don't have to muster up the faith. God has it for you. It's his. Everybody know what this is? This is a good brush. I know it because I clean my toilets with it regularly. So I know it's a good brush. But what if I decided that I was going to brush my teeth with it? Isn't that disgusting? That's disgusting. Would you ever, ever, ever think to do that? No, you would never think to do that. But the brush isn't bad. It's just that I would be using it incorrectly. What is the purpose of God's word? It is not to beat you up and tell you how you're falling short. God's word wasn't given so that you would look and see what's wrong with you and see the areas that you need to work harder in. And I'm telling you, God's heart, he wants that comfort of his arms going around you when you read the Bible. He doesn't want you reading the Bible and feeling guilty. That's just like brushing your teeth with the toilet brush. It's using God's word in a very destructive way. So when you read the Bible, when I read the Bible, It's not for me to look and see, okay, well, God wants me to be like this, or God wants me to be like that. I need to change this. I need to change that. You're brushing your teeth with the toilet brush. That's what it's like. You're using the Word of God to do the very thing that's going to destroy what God wants to do. If you read the Bible and you feel guilty or you feel discouraged, there's a big clue right there. It means somehow you're reading those words through Satan's belief system. This is what the Word of God comes to do. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit, and this is Jesus speaking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel of too good to be true news. The gospel that God has done it for you already through Jesus on the cross, that you already are holy and righteous. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If you're brokenhearted, does it heal you to be told you did this wrong and you did that wrong? And you better shape up, or God isn't pleased with you? That doesn't bring healing to a broken heart. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Think about the people that Jesus ministered to when he was on the earth. They were big sinners. That's what we call them, big sinners. Jesus spent time with them. He loved them. He let them know they were accepted by him. He didn't say, you better do this and you better do that, or I'm not coming to your house anymore. Why would he do it in his word then? Why would he take the very thing that he sent to comfort us, to try to get us focused on ourselves, feel bad about ourselves, and try to get us to work harder on improving ourselves, when that's Satan's belief system? God wants everybody in this room and everybody that's going to hear this message to be set free. The Bible is supposed to bring you great peace, great love, and great joy when you read it. It's supposed to set you free. It's supposed to let you see who you are in Jesus. This is what happens when you read the Bible and the veil of the law is no longer there. Don't let the devil steal that from you. It's yours already. God paid a great price through Jesus so you could have it. And don't let God be stealed of the relationship that he wants to have with you. When you sit down to read the Bible, that's supposed to be your time with God. If you're reading it and the Bible is telling you you're doing this wrong and you're doing that wrong and you're doing this wrong, then what kind of relationship can you have with God? It means Satan's belief system has crept in, and that's what you're hearing. So we don't want us to be robbed anymore of the relationship that we want to have with God, and we don't want what God wants for his relationship with us to be robbed from him. So, Father, I just thank you right now, Lord, for exposing Satan's belief system and how he has actually taken the very thing that you sent to heal us and to set us free, to try to put us back under more bondage. I thank you, Lord, that we as a people and as your church will read your word out of your belief system, the belief system that we are already righteous. We are already holy. So why would we be looking to see what we still need to change? We're just like you. And we thank you for it, God. We thank you that it didn't come through our own strength. It came through your goodness and your grace. Amen.